This is Jay Sekulow. The president says with regard to the shutdown, he has alternatives that he'll use if he has to.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The president's made a few offers. Congress rejects. All right, they have a few votes in Congress, and those fail. Well, now it's possible, certainly possible, he could try to solve the humanitarian crisis by way of declaring a national emergency. That would eliminate the problems over on Capitol Hill.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I have other alternatives if I have to, and I'll use those alternatives if I have to. We want to go through the system. We have to have a wall in this country. We have criminals pouring into our country.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. It's Friday, so we talk about a lot of different topics. We're going to start with one here, and that is the president saying he has a lot of different alternatives to use to move this shutdown forward, including one of those being a national emergency. We've prepared a rather lengthy legal memorandum, which really sets forth the legal issues regarding the shutdown. In other words, if there's a declaration of a national emergency. So this is something we've been researching for a while. We told you a couple weeks ago that we had it close to prepared. It's now completed. If it's necessary, we will be prepared to do it. I mean, the question will be, prepared to issue it. We don't know if that's going to happen yet. But the president is clearly signaling right now that he has other alternatives, although there seems to be some cracks on all sides right now. I think the impact that's having on the federal workforce is pretty significant. There's no question about that.
The question for all of you today is it time to declare the national emergency and to try and take this issue out of Congress and then let Congress figure out how to reopen the government between the House and the Senate? That does mean risking it in court, so it's not a guarantee. Because when you go into court, there are no guarantees because there will be legal challenges. But there is pretty strong footing here for the president to be able to declare national emergencies. And there's a question about whether or not courts should even get involved. Now, I don't think that's going to be stop a Ninth Circuit district court judge or circuit court in the Ninth Circuit from getting involved. But I think it might stop the Supreme Court from getting involved. Here's what we have CNN obtained. So I'm sure, I don't think this was a leak. I think the White House provided like a draft so far of what it would look like, and they continue to update it, but here's what it would say. The massive amount of aliens who unlawfully enter the United States each day is a direct threat to the safety and security of our nation and constitutes a national emergency. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, by the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, including the National Emergencies Act, which is found at 50 U.S.C. 1601, hereby declare that a national emergency exists at the southern border of the United States. They have found funding, $681 million from Treasury forfeiture funds, $3.6 billion in pre-existing funds that were not yet used for military construction, and $3 billion in Pentagon Civil Works funds that haven't been utilized, $200 million in the Department of Homeland Security funds as well. So that gets you, again, over the $5.7 billion that the president initially requested from this Congress.
Let me get to Than Bennett here, our Director of Governmental Affairs. So, Than, if the president still doesn't want to do this, this is obviously not his first, second choice here. He wants to get this thing worked through legislatively. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? Is there movement here?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think he demonstrated that pretty clearly by allowing both of these proposals, waiting on both of these proposals of the United States Senate yesterday. Jay, both of them fell well short, both of them barely clearing 50 votes. So I think it's pretty clear that Congress does have a very difficult time getting to an end here. But look, if the president declares a national emergency, it would leave his critics in a place at saying that this isn't a national emergency. I'll just give you one stat, Jay. 2,500 known or suspected terrorists stopped by DHS every single year crossing the southern border. Is that not a national emergency? 2,500 known or suspected terrorists?
All right, we'll take your. I think it raises the issue to that level. Yes, I think that's a national emergency. We're going to talk about a lot of calls coming in already, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of comments coming in on Facebook as well. So again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Got a statement I'm going to read when I come back from the break. And then we've got to take your calls, and a lot of those are coming in. 1-800-684-3110. Again, support the work of the ACLJ. You know how to do that. ACLJ.org. Share it with your friends. Back with more in a moment.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back. The president's talking about using additional avenues to end the shutdown, to get people back to work, to get the ball rolling on border security, which looks like it could well be the national emergency declaration. The ACLJ, we've prepared a lengthy legal memorandum on the president's authority under Article 2 and the court various court precedents. So that is completed. We'll probably put up a summary of that if, in fact, that's what happens. We don't know yet that that's going to happen, but we're ready to get you informed and educated if it does. Let me say this. I said this before the break. I'm going to read a statement there's a lot of news on other matters. So this is a statement in my capacity as the president's lawyer. I'm just going to take a second to do this. And the idea is that we want you to understand what's happened. So this is a statement from Jay Sekulow, counsel to the president. The indictment today, this is the Roger Stone indictment, of course, we're talking about. The indictment today does not allege Russian collusion by Roger Stone or anyone else. Rather, the indictment focuses on alleged false statements Mr. Stone made to Congress. So that is the sum and substance of the statement. It speaks for itself. That has been issued already. All right, we're going to go right back. We got phone calls coming in. All lines are jammed right now. So let's go ahead and take a phone call, get the conversation started.
All right, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Lisa in Idaho on line one. Lisa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, sir. Hi, thank you for taking my call. The ensuing caravan that's coming from the southern countries, I was wondering, Honduras, how's that going to be addressed, or do we know what the United States can do once they reach Tijuana?
Well, last time, Harry, the government of Mexico engaged to try to alleviate some of the issues. Whether that'll happen this time or not, I don't know. But, I mean, the Honduran government could also engage as well. But the caravan, is it left Honduras yet? Yeah, it has. Is it through Honduras, I guess, is the real question, Will. It's already into Mexico. So it's now, right now, it's Mexico's problem. I mean, that's how this works. I mean, it's kind of country to country, Harry.
Well, I think Mexico has made a number of affirmative steps or taken a number of affirmative steps in the past. They have provided some form of housing. In many instances, they have also offered asylum to the migrants. But many of the migrants are determined to enter the United States and perhaps claim asylum in the United States, despite the fact that under international law, they should claim asylum in the first country where they are indeed safe. Many of these individuals are simply pursuing economic advancement because they deal with huge amounts of crime, violence, an economic disadvantage in their home country. And so I think this sets the stage for the president to at least consider the issuance of a national emergency. We have comprehensively analyzed the legal issues regarding the president's authority to issue a national emergency declaration. We have addressed the issues, the legal issues, in response to national security, humanitarian issues, and the economic crisis because of the porous southern border. This issue has plagued the United States for decades, but today we have seen evidence of a sharp increase, for instance, in suspected terrorists. There has been a 300% increase in unaccompanied alien children, a 600% increase in individuals coming in family units.
Okay, taking those numbers right there, is this, in your view, meets the qualifications of a national emergency as defined in law and in case law?
Absolutely, and clearly it meets the standard set by the historical precedent. So if you look at past practice, this clearly meets the standard for the issuance of a national emergency declaration. I know there will be opponents who will contend that the president lacks authority, but I think a comprehensive review by scholars has suggested that there are up to 470 distinct provisions which support the president's power to issue a national emergency declaration,
yep,
in addition to which he has inherent constitutional power under Article 2.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let's grab another call.
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Jerry in Rhode Island, online too. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, team. In regards to what Professor Hutchinson just said, we know there's going to be challenges.
Yep.
And if you throw in the private property owners and the eminent domain, can all this stuff be lumped in at one time when it'll come to the ninth, and will it get fast-tracked to the Supreme Court?
I do think there's a chance it gets fast-tracked to the Supreme Court in the sense that I think that it'll move quick. There's procedures to expedite review. But that, by the way, expedite review doesn't mean it's done in a week. That means it's you know, 6 months or 8 months, not 2 years. I mean, it's not going to reduce it to nothing. But I think that, look, the president still, I think, and I want to get Jordan and Than on this. The first choice of the president is a legislative solution. That's what he wants.
Absolutely. If the president can get the legislative solution, that's much easier than declaring a national emergency, even if it's totally within his power, because we've talked about the potential court battles. I don't think they're potential. I think they're likely. And so it drags the process on. There'd be likely injunctions issued. So to get this done in a really comprehensive way, the best way would be legislatively. But we are at kind of a standstill right now. I mean, both those Senate bills failed. I don't think it was a great indication, by the way, of how things would work out in the Senate. There's a lot of nastiness going on inside the Republican side. I'm sure there is the Democrat side as well.
Yes.
I'd like to get Than's reaction to that as well. I mean, Than, we're starting to see a lot of barbs being reported, being thrown by Republicans at Republicans.
Oh, absolutely. In a closed-door conference before that vote, there were barbs going back and forth before Republicans. I heard the same thing on the Democrat side. There's division inside both caucuses. Jordan, actually, on the floor debate of the United States Senate, there was actually some pretty hostile exchanges, which, you know, might not be that exciting to listeners, but it's pretty rare on the Senate floor to see it. Look, there were about 15 members, bipartisan members, Lindsey Graham, Tim Kaine, and some others afterwards that were on the floor trying to come to a compromise. And the president had just been on the phone with Lindsey Graham and said he was open to tweaking his language to matching Tim Kaine's language or some others. Jordan, that debate on the Senate floor wasn't even done before Speaker Pelosi came out and said no deal. There hadn't been a deal reached, and she came out and said no deal. That's just how deep the division is for her.
I think both of you are the experts on this. Politically, this isn't playing great for anybody, I think, is a fair statement.
No, I think that it kind of goes back and forth. There's this political football of who looks worse. And again, I don't trust a lot of the polls, I think, because the polling, I just don't think could be real accurate on this specific issue, because it does affect 800,000 federal workers the most. Yes, we understand that, and that's bad because they're not getting their paychecks.
Yep.
But there's a little, you know, we're a country of 300-plus million people. So
right.
Are they polling correctly? Because is it affecting that many people? And I'd say the answer is no. If you're a frequent flyer, maybe your airport is the airports you travel to are getting tougher.
And that was today. That was like a walkout kind of thing.
And that's maybe because it's only a handful of airports. So you could be a frequent traveler that hasn't encountered this yet. And most Americans aren't frequent flyers. Most Americans aren't federal employees.
Yep.
So when you add those two groups up of where they say the biggest trouble is, well, guess what? It's really not affecting. I mean, it's not affecting stock market. It's not affecting the jobs reports and things like that. And I think it could later on.
Yep.
But let's go back. You want to go back to the phones?
Yeah, let's go back to the phones.
Yeah. Conrad, Washington State, online for Conrad. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Conrad.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, this is a situation where the president has to stick to his guns. You know, I mean, if he compromises and he lets Pelosi and Schumer walk all over him, you know, there's going to be no end to it. He's just got to say, okay, you people don't want to compromise with me. I have the authority. I want to build a wall, and that's it.
So you're in favor of a declaration of national emergency?
I am indeed.
Because, Harry, the point we're at right now is untenable in a sense. I mean, this can't continue for 6 more months. Or 6 more weeks, for that matter.
I think that's correct. And meantime, if you look at the undercurrents, if you look at the rise in drug activity, if you look at the opioid crisis, if you look at gang violence, if you look at drug trafficking generally, human trafficking, and the humanitarian aspects of this, not to mention the number of federal workers who are laid off, I don't think we should take the national emergency declaration off the table, in part because the solutions offered by the Democrats in large measure are simply temporary solutions. Why? Because they have one objective and one objective only, and that is total and complete victory over President Trump. It's pure politics all the way down.
Folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. As you can tell, unlike a lot of previous shows, we're taking a lot of calls right now in the first half hour of the broadcast as well. Phone lines are full. We want to keep opening up lines at 1-800-684-3110. We really want to get your thoughts. Is it time for the president to declare that national emergency? Will you be supportive during the court battles that will likely be ahead? And this will be so that the government, then they take that off the table, the negotiations, and likely the government would reopen quicker. But there are risks, and the president, I know, as we've said, would prefer to do this through the normal course of legislative process. We'll be back answering your questions and taking your comments on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We are prepared to go with the ACLJ. If the president does decide to declare a national emergency, and I'll read you that text again before going to the phones, just in case you're just joining us. Some text that was provided to CNN about a draft of what it would sound like, where would the money come from the executive branch, to ultimately take the wall issue off the table. Probably have to litigate it out in courts, likely win at the Supreme Court. But again, you're at the mercy of the courts at that point instead of going through the normal legislative process where you're not. And I know the president prefers to do that. But we've got, again, both an executive summary and a full memo that we've already had ready to go if the president does decide to declare a national emergency and what his presidential powers are in this light of this specific matter. Analyzing history, analyzing the law, analyzing case law, and we've got that ready to go as soon as if the president decides to go that route. Here's what CNN reported, that the draft is emerging from the White House. It's not yet like a final draft. It looks like the White House has identified more than $7 billion in potential funds for the wall. That's a lot more than the $5.7 billion. It's not quite the $25 billion, but it'd be, again, a significant amount. And the draft of the emergency declaration would read something like this. The massive amount of aliens who unlawfully enter the United States each day is a direct threat to the safety and security of our nation and constitutes a national emergency. Now, therefore, I, Donald J. Trump, by the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America, including the National Emergencies Act, which is 50 U.S.C. 1601, if you want to check that out, 50 U.S.C. 1601, hereby declare that a national emergency exists at the southern border of the United States. According to options being considered for the funding that the executive branch has available to it, $681 million from Treasury forfeiture funds, $3.6 billion in military construction, that would be from projects that have not begun or not started, $3 billion in Pentagon Civil Works Fund, again from projects that have not started, and $200 million in Department of Homeland Security funds. So you add that all up, you're looking at over $7 billion, but there will be a legal challenge to that. So I want to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Marisol calling in from New York on line 3. Marisol, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Hey, you there, Marisol?
Oh, yes. Hi, Jordan. How are you?
Good.
Okay. First of all, I am 100% in favor of the wall. Yes, because it there is a crisis. But secondly, at the same time, maybe it doesn't seem that way to the media or both sides, but people are hurting.
Yeah.
The federal, we haven't gotten paid because I work for Treasury, and I haven't seen a paycheck. This will be my second paycheck. And there's a lot of us that have mortgages. Well, I don't have a mortgage. I rent. There's people with mortgages, family, people with families, people without family, like myself. We need to pay our bills, and we have not gotten paid. Nancy Pelosi, she should be fired.
Well, I think that we get very clearly from you, Marisol, as a federal employee, who you believe is responsible for the shutdown. You know, Nancy Pelosi has tried to put this on the president, tried to put all the blame on people like who are in your position, federal workers who have not received their paychecks, that it's the president's fault. You disagree. I think, again, that's the big debate, is where do people fall? Who do they blame? That's the big political debate, but you humanize it as well. And I believe, Than, that is why the president is, again, considering the national emergency option, not because it's the best option, because he'd like to have the legislative option, but because ultimately he wants to make sure people like Marisol get their next paycheck.
Well, the president has acknowledged that, Jordan. I mean, I live in and around Washington, D.C., and I have a lot of friends who are affected directly by losing their income during this furloughed period. So there's no doubt that there's a human story to tell on that side of it. But look, I mean, Jordan, the president's also said this. What about the human story of the families who lose children because violent criminals cross our southwest border? What about the 2,500 known or suspected terrorists that are coming across that border every year? Those are real human tragedies that he has an obligation to address as well. So look, yes, this is not the best way to run a government. But there again, Jordan, I would put it this way. There's been one side at the table for a long time. And I've read through multiple proposals that's been put out by the White House that include Democrat priorities. Again, yesterday, after those two votes failed in the Senate, Speaker Pelosi came out to the latest verbal offer that was offered by the president and said no deal before she could even be given the details of the deal. So there's people that are suffering on both sides of this, Jordan. But until both sides come to the table, there's not going to be a resolution unless the president uses his powers under the National Emergencies Act.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls. And then remember, we got a second half hour coming up as well. And today we are taking a lot of calls. Phone lines are full. But each time we take a call, we're open up a line, 1-800-684-3110. Pat calling in from New Mexico on line one. Pat, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, guys. I'm from New Mexico, and the Albuquerque News, which goes through all of New Mexico, was talking about it. They actually went down to Hidalgo County, which is 87 miles along the border with Mexico. It's our boot heel. And the ranchers and townspeople were, interviewed. And they just have a fence posts down there with maybe three strings of barbed wire, yeah. And there's like a gate. And there was like a kidnapping down there. They're very worried about their safety. There was a kidnapping, but that got resolved, luckily. But there's been a lot of break-ins and a lot of property destruction down there. And they're just worried. The newscaster went from one side of, the New Mexico side, then walked across over to the Mexico side just to show how easy. And there was a gate. And so, they're just worried. And then the governor had put out a statement essentially saying, that she's not going to buy into this whole Donald Trump thing. And it's just getting scary because she wants it now to be a sanctuary state, which, is going to just be a magnet for, crimes from all over the country. So we're worried.
Yeah, it's very interesting that these same Democrat-led states would also like, for instance, to be able to declare themselves sanctuary cities, not subject to federal law. These are the same states that didn't want local law enforcement officials to be able to enforce immigration law. So this time they think they can flaunt that. That being said, let me make it clear. What this wall would do is take it out. It's not a state decision. These are federal decisions, Harry. This is our border. That is up to the federal government.
I think that's precisely correct. But I think it's also important to remember that the dislike for President Trump, which occupies the mind of Nancy Pelosi and many Democratic leaders, including governors, is so high that it has exhausted their sense of compassion for the American people that are truly hurting because we have not solved this crisis, which has lasted for decades.
Folks, we've got a second half hour coming up. We've got a lot of phone lines full. People want to weigh in on this. Is it time to declare a national emergency? The president, that's again floating this option with other alternatives. We'll play that sound for you for the president. A draft was given to CNN of what it might look like. So we can, again, we know this is a potential. Is it time to take that issue off the table with the negotiations to reopen the government? And what does that mean? We'll talk about it. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, ACLJ.org.
Talking about freedom. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Well, we've got some breaking news, folks. Drudge Report's got the siren on, and usually that means something important is about to happen. And we have a source. We don't have a link. We don't know who that source is, so I'm going to make this clear to everybody. But that a shutdown agreement is reached, announcement is set for 1 p.m., and the government will reopen temporarily. Now, remember, the president and the White House have said through their spokespeople that the president would be open to a temporary reopening of the government if there was a significant down payment on the border wall. So this is the breaking news. This will be right after our broadcast is finished today, and we will you'll soon know if this is correct. But let me go to Than Bennett. Than, it seems like the only way there would be a temporary reopening of the government, one of two ways. The president's about to declare the national emergency, take that off the table, and then let the government reopen, give them a few weeks to then get a full budget together. Or two, that they have agreed to some kind of down payment on the border wall.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jordan. And last night, it actually looked like they were fairly close to this deal after the votes had failed in the Senate. Lindsey Graham came down to the floor of the Senate and said openly on C-SPAN 2 that he just talked to the president, and the president was willing to tweak his DACA and TPS language to be more like what Senator Bennett and Senator Warner wanted, and then open the government on a temporary basis until February 8th if there was a down payment. So, you know, for 2 weeks, Jordan, that'd probably be something like $200 million, a prorated amount. There wasn't a number thrown out, but that would be roughly the amount that a down payment would be. The reason that didn't proceed last night, Jordan, is because Nancy Pelosi said no deal. She wasn't going to give a down payment. So, you know, if something has come together around that framework, I would suspect it would look something like that. But short of that, short of Nancy Pelosi agreeing to move something through the House, then I think you'd be looking at a National Emergencies Act declaration. Jordan, between those two options, I mean, I think it's probably time for the president to exercise one of them. But the first one would still be preferable just because it would give Congress one final chance. We would see in 2 weeks if they would do it. But if that down payment is in there, again, it would break that dam of physical barrier funding that has been there up until now.
All right, so let's go right to the phones. We will analyze that throughout this second half hour of the broadcast. We'll see if we get any more information about this. We'll have our team checking as well. But the Drudge Report siren is going off as we speak right now as we're live on the air. Let's go right to the phones. Tom in Arizona, online too. Tom, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Tom.
I think the national emergency should be declared because we are being invaded daily. I worked in security on the border. I just got returning from a 1 week off on the line. The cartel operates in our country every day.
Yeah.
There's a lot of.
We know that. I mean, we know that. So, what do you see as someone who works security at the border? Do you have a wall where you are, or is it a shorter barrier, or is it just too many open areas? I know the cartels get even more creative. They've got a lot more resources to spend to get there, to traffic their drugs, traffic people, and traffic the members of the cartel as well.
There's a lot of areas where there's nothing.
Mostly
it's just a fence.
And when you say a fence, you mean like a fence like a 10-year-old could hop over?
Yeah, it's a barbed wire, 3 strands.
Yeah, so I mean something that again, you could hop over if you really want to get across the other side pretty easily. So, Tom, you think the wall is necessary for where you are in Arizona?
Well, first let me say there's also gates.
Okay.
They're freely opening and closing, and a wall... Building a wall where I operate is not possible.
Okay. So you'd have to have other solutions. And now those other solutions are part of the border plan. So where if a wall is not possible, it's other barriers, other devices using smart technology as well. So that may be, again, I appreciate your call, but you believe it's a national emergency and that the national emergency needs to be declared. We're going to be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. More of this breaking news on a possible shutdown agreement reached, at least to reopen the government for...
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the medical board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
All right, we're going to continue to take your calls on the potential for the president utilizing national emergency to declare national emergency to build the wall. And provide more border security, to take that issue out of Congress, even though he would like to have it legislatively handled, and then let Congress figure out how to reopen the government. We've got breaking news that there's an announcement set for 1 p.m. that the government is going to reopen temporarily. Now, the White House has said it only will reopen temporarily if there's a significant down payment on the border wall. I want to go right to Than Bennett, because if you were just listening on radio, you didn't hear our discussion during the break. Our Periscope and Facebook audience did, but we only had a few seconds before going back live on the air. Than, what are you hearing from Capitol Hill? And you're seeing some other reporters report some pretty interesting info as well.
Yeah, so there are multiple reports from Capitol Hill, Jordan, that there is going to be some kind of announcement at 1 o'clock. I don't have any hard verification that this is about a government shutdown announcement. Most people are speculating that it is, including people like Jake Sherman is announcing that there will be an announcement from the White House early this afternoon directly related to this. Again, we don't have any text of any kind of announcement, any kind of legislative solution or national security declaration, but it does look like more and more people believe that it is going to happen. One interesting thing, Jordan, and again, I can't tell you the reason for this, but Chad Pergram is reporting, he's tweeting that his colleague John Roberts is reporting that the White House is setting up for a possible Rose Garden event. Now, we don't know what that's for or if it's related, but it would make some sense if the president was going to declare a national emergency, or quite frankly, if he was going to announce he'd reached a deal with Nancy Pelosi, that event could, and I stress could, be to announce that. So we're just going to have to wait and see here.
Okay, folks, again, a lot of moving parts. Chad Pergram from Fox News wrote in, colleague John Roberts, who's the White House reporter for Fox News, says that the White House is setting up for a possible Rose Garden event. Don't know for sure that it will happen or the content. Put that in with Drudge Report saying a 1 p.m. announcement is coming shortly on the government reopening temporarily. There's been some agreement. Again, not a solution to fully fund the government. The White House said so far that means, I think it means one of two things. It means either the president's going to declare the national emergency as well and take this off the table, or two, the Democrats have agreed to put some kind of down payment for the wall for this 2 weeks of reopening the government. So that won't be $5 billion. It'll be something kind of prorated out, like Than said. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Courtney calling in from Colorado on line 6. Courtney, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you guys.
Thanks, Courtney.
Yeah, so I was just calling because, I mean, there's two things that I just wanted to quickly state. First off, I'm from Arizona. I have family who have lifelong friends who are farmers and ranchers on the border, and they have discussed and talked about and actually been in interviews, you know, with local television organizations that discussed how, you know, back in the day, it wasn't really a problem. Nowadays, they're seeing 300 and more, you know, illegal immigrants or illegal people pass through and steal things, steal their horses, steal their livestock, steal, you know, supplies, try and steal trucks and cars. And they can't interact with them. And, you know, they can't even defend their own land. And so that's a big problem that, you know, you don't really hear about. Definitely mainstream media doesn't go and interview these people. And then also, if you think about just the humanitarian crisis, but the financial aspect of it too, even if Trump wants $5.7 billion to $7-plus billion, it's costing the American taxpayers over $116 billion a year to fund the illegal activity and the, you know, welfare and all of the things that happens with illegals coming into the country and just using American taxpayers. I mean, it's a small drop of the button or drop of the bucket, less than 1% of what it's actually costing us just annually to take care of a large part of the problem, at least start protecting our borders, which is what we should do as a nation anyway.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I think that we spend so much on trying to combat illegal immigration and then the effects of illegal immigration, Harry, it certainly outweighs the cost of one time, let's say $25 billion putting up this wall.
Absolutely correct. So I think Courtney is onto something. Funding the wall is a relatively small amount of money in comparison with both our over $1 trillion budget and the amount of money we spend combating drug crime and providing humanitarian assistance to illegals. And so I think it's time for the United States to really move into adulthood with respect to addressing the immigration crisis that is on our southern border. We need to take steps now that will deal with this issue permanently going forward. And certainly border security, a wall, permanent fencing, drones, technology, all of those things are necessary. We also need additional border security agents and administrative law judges to handle asylum requests. These things are a small fraction of the federal budget on an annual basis. And I think if we were serious, if there were adults in Congress, we could solve this problem. So far, adulthood has escaped Congress. And I think that is the quintessential problem facing the American people.
All right. We will continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Before I get to the next call, Than, anything else on Capitol Hill yet? Is it just conflicting?
Yeah, well, there are more people convinced that an announcement of some sort is coming, Jordan, but the direct contacts that I've had are still not clear which route that is going to go. And I would just tell you, if a deal did come together legislatively, it came together very, very quickly in recent minutes. So it's pure speculation, but I think at this point there's probably a greater likelihood it's a national emergency declaration than a legislative solution. But I don't have confirmation either way at this point.
And then that would lead to a temporary reopening of the government because it takes that wall issue out of the table, off the table.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think both chambers could probably pass a short-term CR, if not unanimously, very, very close to unanimously, and be on the president's desk very soon.
All right. So, I mean, that could be why these reports are kind of conflicting. So you'll want to, again, the report is that it's around 1 p.m. Eastern time, so it's right after we're off the air live. But again, stay with the news as well and check that out. Major Garrett just tweeted that senior administration officials expect President Trump to endorse a short-term funding bill to reopen the government in the next hour. Final details are being worked out in White House conversations now. It's unclear if it's 2 or 3 weeks. Border debate will continue. Stress on government systems was increasing. So will it include any funding for the wall or not? Will there be part of this also include the potential for the national security, a national emergency declaration in these next couple of weeks? Again, it's we don't know. We're just getting the news reports. We want you to be as up to speed as possible. Let's go right back to the phones. Joe in Kansas on line four. Joe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Joe.
I'm glad I got through. You know, President Trump was voted in because we wanted change. The change is mega. He has done everything that he has said he was going to do. The status quo of the government, these days should be gone. You know, you got 800,000 state workers and federal workers that are without pay. Congress is getting paid. Trump is getting paid, but he donates his wage. He doesn't even take it. He's for us. It's time that our government decides, are you for the American people or are you for the illegals? You know, I don't have a problem with immigration.
Sure.
You come here legally. You come here legally and do it like all these other people. Why jump in line and come here illegally?
No, it hurts all the people who do want to come here legally, because then you've got this influx of illegal immigrants. So then legal immigrants, it takes even longer for them to even get here as they go through the process, because we're dealing with a lot of people who, again, came here illegally. Remember, we have another segment coming up, and all we do is take phone calls. So get your calls in right now, 1-800-684-3110. There's one line open at this moment. Line three is open, 1-800-684-3110. And would you be okay with the president accepting a short-term funding bill just to get the government reopened for a couple of weeks without wall funding? That doesn't mean, again, that the wall debate won't continue, because it has to, because it's only a couple of weeks here of funding. Would you be okay with that to get the government back open? Again, these are not best options. It's kind of like options that you have available. Of course, you could couple that with an emergency declaration. Give us a call. These are the reports that are breaking right now. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A short-term opening of the government without wall funding. What do you think about that? 1-800-684-3110. We're going to know very soon. Seems like from the President of the United States, shortly after our broadcast is over. We got another segment coming up, and we're going to take all your calls and comments.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. She called Jewish people, quote, dogs, and is brutally unsympathetic about the Holocaust. This anti-Semitism turns the Hippocratic Oath, quote, do no harm, on its head. Unsurprisingly, Kalab is part of the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement, further exposing BDS for what it is, thinly veiled anti-Semitism. At the ACLJ, we've been aggressively fighting the BDS movement and these sickening attacks on the Jewish people in Israel. Now we're sending a formal complaint to the Medical Board in Ohio. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. And it's, of course, it's Friday, and there's breaking news. We broke it right away from a Drudge Report. And I know Than Bennett is right now. I can see him in his studio in Washington, D.C., going through contacting people about what this means. The White House, there's teleprompters going up. I mean, it looks like right after our broadcast, the president is going to make some kind of statement about a possible end to the shutdown temporarily. And I think we do have to ask, how would you feel if there is that shutdown without any funding for the border wall? Now, the end to the shutdown without any funding for the border wall. Now, this would be for 2 weeks. You'd still be debating this. Does he couple with this with a national emergency? Does he ultimately declare the national emergency because even after those next couple of weeks, he doesn't want to shut down the government again? Okay, you're not going to get action that way. I mean, there's a lot of different ways this goes. I don't want to pass any judgment yet because we don't know. Than, what are you hearing now? So it seems like it's the statement is coming from the White House, not Capitol Hill on a deal, but the White House.
Yeah, no, it sure looks like to me that the White House is about to announce either a 2 week or a 3 week continuing resolution. So that would be either to February 8th or February 15th. Pretty much all of my sources are saying one of those two dates. What I don't know is what you just said, Jordan, whether or not there will be a prorated down payment for the wall or not. The only other thing I could think of is maybe the president is going to say, look, I am going to take the first step. I am going to give you 2 weeks or 3 weeks to come to a deal, and I won't insist on what I want on my end of the deal. But come the end of that 2 or 3 weeks, you better deliver. Otherwise, I will go another route. I think that that would be a viable way that the president could try to take a good faith first step and an offer to the Congress. But again, that's the piece of it, Jordan, I don't have a lot of clarity on. It sure does look to me, though, that part of the announcement will be either a 2 week CR or a 3 week CR to either February 8th or February 15th.
Would this be the president then likely endorsing something that hasn't necessarily been passed yet?
Could be, although the version that was put on the floor of the Senate second last night that all of the Democrats voted for and six Republicans voted for was a continuing resolution until February 8th. It also had some disaster dollars in there, and I have no idea whether or not that's included in this or not. That disaster aid piece, Jordan, that's going to pass one way or another. That's not controversial, but it does sound like it's going to be very similar to some proposals out there. But again, I think what the president is going to demand is what we don't know yet. And maybe what he's saying is, this is your last chance. You have 2 weeks, you have 3 weeks, and if you don't deliver, I'm going to go on my own.
All right, let's go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. We go in the order that people have called in the final segment. Audrey's calling in from Indiana. Online too. Audrey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. There's some people that are skeptical about how much drugs and trafficking are actually coming in through those open areas. They feel that most of it's coming through the ports, which is probably true. But do we have any statistics on the amount that's coming through the open areas?
Well, I mean, listen, I saw a report yesterday in just one area of Texas, there was 120 drug smuggling tunnels. So, I mean, there's certainly a large amount of drugs coming through the southern border. That doesn't mean there's not significant amounts that are being utilized in the ports. But what's the quickest way in? The quickest way in is to get it right into the U.S. through that, not go through the port process where you've got to wait for ships to be unloaded, hope that the cargo is not seized, goes through all those different levels of government searching. And yes, the drug traffickers are very creative, but it's very easy. You know, if you're smuggling heroin in or meth, if you can get that in through the southern border, you're talking about, is it 1.5 million pounds? Will, that comes...
1.5 million as of 2015.
1.5 million pounds of drugs are coming in through the southern border. That's as of 2015. That was before really the meth crisis hit, too. In our country, the opioid crisis was just beginning in the United States. I guess it was in the middle of that. But still, I mean, it's probably only increased.
I think that's correct. And it's also important to note that the southwest border remains the primary entry point for heroin in the United States. In 2017, approximately 8,000 kilograms of heroin were seized nationwide, with 39% of that figure being seized at the southwest border. And significantly, the DEA has recognized that since 2015, most of the heroin sold in the United States is from Mexico. It's also important to keep in mind the collateral consequences of this drug activity, which include propping up gang violence, including MS-13, which engages in all sorts of gang violence, and they are fueled and to some extent funded by drug activity, both internally within the United States, but probably also in cooperation with Mexican drug cartels. So it's a significant issue, and if you're concerned about the opioid crisis in America, then we need to take immediate action to control this activity in terms of benefiting the American people.
You know, on day 35 of the government shutdown, the news, of course, gets transfixed by Roger Stone. MSNBC has not even reported yet once that there could be an announcement to end the shutdown, and they've been pounding the president on this. I mean, that it's very telling. Now, I know people aren't exactly sure what's coming, but it does tell you that the issue that they act like is the most important of the day suddenly isn't. You know, those 800,000 people compared to this one guy, Roger Stone, you know, it tells where their priorities are. They have not once reported this, and MSNBC loves a vague breaking news when it's about the president.
Well, it's a pretty selective narrative, Jordan. I mean, look, the narrative was you can't get the government back open. So if the government's opening back up, that probably wouldn't be something they wanted to report on. And Jordan, I would just say, I mean, it goes to the caller's last point about, you know, all of the drugs come in through the port of entry. That's a narrative as well, because look, you don't know what you don't know. So if drugs come over the other parts that you don't have control over and you're not patrolling and they enter into the American society and they get consumed, you're never going to know about them. Jordan, we just don't know how many are coming over. So all of this comes back to a pre-selected narrative. And when it doesn't fit it, the preferred course of option is to just ignore it.
Let's go to Donna in Missouri on line 6. Donna, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan. I wanted to comment that I do not think the president should utilize and call a state of emergency to build the wall. I don't think it will result in a wall. I think it will result in a lot of lawsuits, and I think it may very possibly put him in even greater peril of being impeached.
No, there's not. It's not going to be an impeachment issue. It's those issues, again, it's presidential power being litigated in courts has nothing to do with impeachment. It's litigated all the time. President Obama had to deal with it all the time. Past presidents have had to do it all the time. So don't worry about that. And then second, Harry, yes, it certainly will cause legal action, but we're feeling pretty good that by the time this gets to the Supreme Court, the president's not only acting on his constitutional authority, but specific statutory authority as well. And courts really have no place in deciding what is a national security and what's not.
I think your analysis is very sound, in addition to which the National Emergencies Act provides an opportunity for Congress to step in and disagree with the president. And so if Congress can't step in because they can't reach an agreement, then the president's emergency declaration should go forward. And I think the Supreme Court should decline to review the president's exercise of emergency power.
All right, folks, in just a few moments, as we finish the air, there's supposed to be an announcement at the White House. I mean, they say 1 o'clock. It's not always exactly that time if you're on the East Coast, about an announcement that could end the shutdown temporarily. What will it mean? Well, you'll have to tune in there. Again, it was great talking to you. Have a great weekend.
A Muslim medical doctor in training publicly threatened to, quote, purposely prescribe the wrong meds to Jewish patients. Laura Kalab, a first-year resident at the prestigious Cleveland Clinic, brazenly said, quote, Allah will kill the Jews. Kalab and any other medical professional who espouses this deadly level of hatred for Jews should lose their medical license. Take action with us now. Add your name to our petition to stop vile anti-Semitic attacks on Jews. You can add your name online, ACL.